Men, do you ever feel like you just can't get ahead? Like you're misunderstood? Like you have no one to talk to that truly hears you?
And women, are you often frustrated, hurt, and saddened in your relationships with the men in your life?
What if there were a community of like-minded men going through the same challenges that would support, hear, and understand what you're going through?
Working together in unison to create understanding, intimacy, and strong connections. That's the Way of the Illuminated Warrior.
Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show is a forum of candid conversations for men and women about men. Heard every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Being a man today is not always easy. Until now.
All right, welcome to another episode of Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show. I am most excited to have my brother here, Leighton Morrison, who's been with the Warriors for quite a few years now. So welcome, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you're doing, Waska. You're a very important milestone in this world and day and age. So thanks for all you're doing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you showing up meeting after meeting, circle after circle, month after month, year after year. And, you know, I thought this would be a good show because I have seen you really transform from one thing into something else, which is a natural way of existing and all. But it's just the positive effects that the Warrior work has had on you, I think would be inspirational for other bros to hear. So we've been together for a number of years. So why don't you start off by sharing your journey, like how you got involved and, you know, what it's all about to you?
So I have been illuminated for many, many years in my life. I studied many different religions to try to get my head wrapped around what was life. I had children, felt that somewhat ashamed that I hadn't involved them in any kind of religious organization. And so we started with Christianity, a Protestant church. My wife got involved at the time and she wanted to go the Catholic route. So my children both had Protestant and Catholic upbringings to some degree. It never fulfilled me. I learned that organized religion tends to be more of a system, not a place for spirituality growth or spiritual growth. And so when I found a boy named Jake who had joined your group for a year, and I saw the transition and the difference that it made in him, when we went to his graduation, I came to you and I said, Waska, I think this might be a really good fit for me as well. You know, I had a lot of life struggles. I was going through a divorce. I'm self-employed. Work was up and down. Disruptions, a lot of confusion, a lot of pressure in every way, shape, and form. So you allowed me to join, and I came in the first year and not really knowing what to expect or, you know, what was going to happen. And, you know, you really changed a lot of the way I view things and gave me tools, which I think were incredibly valuable. I encourage others to take the time to spend on themselves and their spiritual journey, because it's really important. And as you go through struggles in life, the tools that this outfit will provide you will help you immensely in navigating some really, really complicated circumstances, situations, and decisions. And this is a new world, man, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
We've transitioned from a somewhat normal, for whatever that you want to call that, 5-6 years ago to present COVID new world order stuff that is, you know, really, really different in so many ways. And so again, going back to the tools and the structure that Illuminated Warriors bring you is, and I think that, you know, as more people become awakened to what's really going on around them, they're going to need stuff like this tonight. So, you know, thank you for all the work that you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, bro. And, kudos to you, because, you know, I could provide the information and the experiences that I've had. And it's up to, you know, the brothers like yourself to really take that and run with it and do the work. So you have done a lot of work over the years, my friend. And it's, you know, warms my heart because it's, you know, that's what I'm all about, being in service and providing what I can from my experiences that I know could be of use and of help to, you know, to help my sons. It's helped you. It's helped many, many other of our circle. And, you know, so it warms my heart to see guys that are actually working it, you know, because that's what it takes. It's, you know, you could put down a pot of gold in front of somebody and it doesn't mean anything, you know, until they learn how to actually access that gold and use that gold. Now, I'm just using gold as an example, but whatever it is. And you're absolutely right, man. These times have changed drastically and they're more challenging. And you know, I'm going to giggle because the Warriors is about rising to the challenges. So you and other guys would be like, okay, Wasco, when are the challenges going to end? I'm like, well, you know, when you're 6 feet under, right?
Yeah, exactly. What is it? What is the saying? The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Well, yeah, I prefer, like, you know, growth is optional, you know, change is inevitable, growth is optional, but yeah, man, but it takes that diligence. And, so what would you know, the answer to this, of course, what was the one thing that we continuously worked on and we still work on over and over and over again, that mindset that I love.
Positivity. It is the foundation of this. Is if you go to the negative place, you will attract negativity. If you go to the positive place, you will attract the positivity. And, you know, we've laughed about that through the years. And whenever we talk, it's like, I'm being positive, man. I'm staying positive. And it's hard. It's really hard, especially in some of these challenging times. And yeah, the work is no joke. And I don't want anybody to hear this and think that this is easy. Looking yourself in the eyes, in the mirror, and staring down into your soul and really looking at who you are as a person, not easy work. Not easy work at all. And then allowing yourself to be you. I think one of the most monumental things that I gained in the early days was the shadow effect. Yeah. And I talk about that to this day, about how if you don't accept your dark side, it's going to come out in horribly negative ways. And you have to embrace it. You know, you can't just deny it. And that's the video or the book that I would really encourage anybody listening to watch it or read it and understand that side of you is there and you have to accept it. It's not going to go away. And if you deny it, it's going to come out in, you know, very aggressive ways. So positivity is a big one. And then understanding the shadow side of every human and accepting it, right? I mean, yeah. You know, we all want to live and love with somebody or people around us that are all in the same vibe, but you have to accept the fact that they have a negative side too. And that's the yin and yang. And, you know, embracing that is one of the biggest challenges that we have as a human in our growth. Oh, it's okay. It's okay, Po.
Hi, Po.
You want to come up and say hi? You want to come up and say hi? Come on. Come on. Come on. Up, up. Here's my little buddy.
Hey, Poe. Well, Poe is black and white. So Poe is representing the complementary opposites and things in balance and the yin and the yang. Yeah, there you go. She's supporting. She knew exactly what you were saying and said, yeah, let me get in on this.
Right. And he is named Poe after Kung Fu Panda, who went through his own challenges with an adopted dad that didn't look anything like him. And so, you know, in many ways, he represents a lot of the challenges that I have in my life. I would never get another pet. He's really not mine. My love, my partner, is in the process of final hospice, which is a very difficult time. And he has become basically mine by, you know, adoption, by default. And so he and I have been doing a lot of work together to learn each other. And yeah, so it's very ironic that he is half white and half black. And you know, they are the smartest breed on the planet. He'll tilt his head when he's trying to understand what I'm saying. If I don't train him, he will train me in bad ways. So very much we're working together in understanding each other and in this new relationship that we've been tossed into. So, I don't think we use the word ironic. We just use the word
synchronistic. Yeah, synchronistic or, yeah, meant to be. It's, beshert, as we say in Yiddish, beshert is meant to be. So you touched upon some very valid and good points. Yes, the shadow work, which we started working on way back when, which is a never-ending process. And we dove into Debbie Ford's work. That's the video and the book that you had referenced, which, yes, absolutely a great place to begin or even just jump into the work of Debbie Ford, because she's passed now, but her work goes on. She was saying, like, she was in a workshop and somebody just totally called her out and like, you know, you're a total bitch. And she's like, yeah, you see me, you know, she owned it. She's like, yeah, I am a bitch, but you know what? This is what I went through and this is what I have to share. And, you know, I'm here to help you, you know? So, but yeah, that shadow work, looking at our dark side, our shadow, until we're like in that next realm where I like to think maybe there is no shadow, there's only light, then we have to really, I'll say we get to look at those dark aspects of ourselves, like you were saying, and work with them. Because if we don't, just like you said, they're going to come out in ways that are not going to be necessarily too pretty or harmonious, and they're going to cause more stress and more disease and more illness. So that's big work. That's big work for all of us. And so I want to tie that into the work, the shadow work that you did, and getting in touch with your own feelings and the ways that you are being into what's going on now. So, you know, again, you keeping Pauline in prayers for her transition and all. Very, very difficult time, I'm sure, for you, obviously the family, and just and for Poe, for everybody who's sentient and feeling this. So how are you dealing with it, and how is your own personal journey and practices helping you to to deal with it and to help her?
So, you know, the one thing that we've talked a lot about is that as a human being, we tend to abuse the ones that we love because we know they're not going to leave us. If I freak out on a friend, that friend's not going to come back. They're not going to call me or talk to me anymore. If I freak out on my children, well, they're going to still love me. Anyway, so, you know, when she was in her dark throes of trying to wrap her head around the fact that she was not going to continue to walk the terrestrial planet and that she was going to move on to the ethereal plane, she got angry, and really angry. And so I was forced to digest and metabolize some real deep-seated anger and hate and frustration that bubbled up out of her. And it's because I understand the shadow effect, because I understand that people that really love you and that you love will do this. I was able to metabolize it and let it just run off my back like a water off a duck's back. And that's not easy. I mean, it's so easy to get angry at someone because they're freaking out on you and you know you don't deserve it. But if you understand that that's just you're letting them release, throw up, puke out all of these things that are deep seated, like way, way down. And they've been buried. And as a human, we're really, really good at burying stuff and not looking at it.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Waska. Happy holiday, my friends. I know this time of year can be potentially stressful for any number of reasons. So I want to offer anyone listening the opportunity to connect with me for a complimentary discovery session. We will talk about practical ways to de-stress, be joyful, and create prosperity in your life. Reach out to me at waska@illuminatedwarrior.com. I look forward to connecting. Happy and healthy holidays.
One of the greatest exercises that you ever gave to me, and it was incredibly beautiful, was during COVID. We talked about deep seats, and you asked me to, when I meditate, which I do daily, to take a little bit more time and meditate on my earliest childhood memory. All right. And it was beautiful. So I just sat there and meditated on that my earliest memory. And then to take it to the next level, I started focusing on what was happening, who was present, where was I, you know, all these little things. And they just led me to other memories and to more memories and to deeper memories and things that I had buried. Like, I always wondered why I loved to hug people. Well, I realized that my dad never hugged me and that my mother was the support network. And I would never have gotten to that understanding unless I had done this really challenging work. And it, this work is, you know, not going to just be done once. No. I did this for 6 months and I dredged up all kinds of things that happened in my early childhood that I buried or forgot about or didn't want to look at or deal with. And so in many ways that allowed me to be where I am through all of this dark times. And, you know, I'll tell you, darkness, like I'll tell you, like I buried myself to a point where I was about a month and a half out of homelessness. I was $130,000 in credit card debt. My minimums were horrifying, but I had no choice. I had my love who needed support. She was battling cancer, stage 4 ovarian, no joke. Couldn't afford to pay for her herbs and her medicines that were preventing this cancer from roaring back into her life. So, you know, in the midst of a 58-year-old who has never anticipated a world shutdown, like it was the farthest thing from my mind that this could actually happen. The whole world shut down and there was no work. And there was, how do you pay for things when you have no income? So you talk about horrifyingly difficult times. The only reason I was able to foster the energy to not go negative and not freak out was because of the work that you provided me. You gave me the opportunity to do it. And yes, I did do it. And yes, it was hard, but it got me through the most darkest times that anybody could possibly anticipate with a loved one in a bad situation and you're, you know, trapped on the other side of the country. You know, I crash landed in California. I'm a New England boy. So, you know, there was a tremendous amount of challenges in the past couple of years. And again, I thank and bless you and the work and the education that you provided me that allowed me to navigate in really dark times. And wow. You know, that's, yeah, Aho is right, man. And I hope the people that listen and hear this take up their arms, man. And you know, do the work.
Yeah.
You can spoon feed it, but if you're not chewing it and swallowing it and tasting it and pooping it out, then you didn't do the work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Very good points, man. Thanks for sharing that. Reminds me a lot of The Matrix, the movie The Matrix, because, you know, I definitely took the enlightenment pill. And, you know, at first when I started doing this work many, many moons ago, I was like, wow, this is great. You know, I'm getting all these insights and beautiful things are coming to me. And, you know, with that awareness and with that mindfulness and with that reality of what's going on in the world and within inside myself, the challenges begin, because now you're not like, you know, that saying ignorance is bliss, because it really is.
It is.
It is. Yes. You know, hey, power to those people as well. Like, you know,
warning, ignorance is bliss. Well,
no, I went through a stage where I was like, well, you know, I really want to just help all of my brothers. And one of my mentors, Ocean Fastwolf, said, you know, stop, you know, beating your head against the rock. You know, you're not going to help everybody. You know, if they're asleep, give them a pillow, wish them well, tell them a bedtime story. If they do happen to awaken, then you know, put your energy into that. But you're not, you know, here to, you know, save anybody really or awaken anybody. Provide the tools, you know, share your experiences and then support the brothers that want to do the work, you know, like yourself. And that's what warms my heart to see, you know, people going from really totally involved in that shadow and not seeing or feeling any light at all to saying, hey, you know what? I want to pull myself out of this muck and mire, and I want to be in the light. And then doing the work, as you, you know, said over and over again, which is true, you know, and I appreciate the kudos, but I could only provide what I could provide. And it's up to you and the rest of the bros to do the work, you know, that's the only way it happens. And what's happening now with COVID and all, it really is a macrocosm of what's going on, I believe, within each of us, you know, the turmoil and the shutdown and the, you know, disconnection. And, you know, even if you look at the polarity that's going on in the country, whether it's politically or like, you know, the vaccination, everybody's got polarized views upon it, you know. And what really disheartens me is, what happened to respect? You know, we don't have to agree with each other because we're never, never going to. We're never all going to agree on one way of being, one way of thinking, one way of living. So how do we coexist in a beautiful way if we can't even respect, you know, the other's, you know, belief system or opinion? So that, you know, that then disheartens me a little bit. You know, it doesn't dissuade me, but it does dishearten me. But you know, we just got to keep on doing the work. And again, the ones who are awake, sharing the love and sharing the experiences. And that brings me to who I used to call Baby Buddha, who you brought into the circle as well. Let's share that a little bit with the listeners.
So my son, who's very much like me, is, you know, a very much awake young soul. And it's depressing to be awake. It's, you're looking at a bleak future. Where am I going to go? What's going to be left? You know, we have all of these pressures from environmental to monetary that really pave a kind of bleak future if you can put the dots together. And so someone who is very much awake and aware can easily see these dots and where they're going. And so as a young man, he, you know, was very much depressed and frustrated and in a dark place, and to some degree still is, but he does have these tools, which I constantly remind him about. And when he's in that place, when I remind him of these tools, it helps him tremendously navigate it. So, I think that it starts with an understanding that, you know, it's okay to have these feelings, but what do you do with them? How do you manage them? And I think that's where, you know, these kinds of tools are very, very valuable. How do you pull yourself up by the bootstraps or whatever you want to call it? And that goes back to these tools, these enlightenments, these awarenesses. And, you know, that's where I think the real important stuff is there, as far as like, how do you navigate? And so again, he was a young man and he still is, he's 22. So when he started the work, I think he was 17. Is
it? I think he was younger, actually. I think he was 15 going on 16.
All right. So
that's why I called him Baby Buddha, because he would sit there with such insights. And, you know, it was, well, I love that, having young guys come into the circle, because it's like, you know, us old bulls are like, you know, a lot of times think we have all these experiences, we know everything, we're going to teach the young guys. And if you recall, just, you know, some of the young guys that were in there were sharing these experiences. And it was like, wow, you know,
they were teaching us.
Yes, they absolutely. Absolutely. It was amazing. It was a beautiful thing to experience.
Yeah, that was. And seeing people in dark places who all of a sudden became more powerful because they were not afraid of what was going on in their feelings. And they were allowed, or they're allowing themselves to have these feelings. And I think that's the real value in the work. So anyway, yeah, he was blessed with a very wide open mind. And spiritually, I think he's very much an old soul, and I think you'll agree with that.
Absolutely.
So some of the interesting things that you know, outside of the circle, outside of this work, my partner, Pauline, was doing shaman work, and I didn't really know much about it. At one point, she was like, I need you to talk to my teacher. I want him to see who you are. And so basically feel you out. And so I agreed to it, do a 1-hour counsel. And so basically he was interviewing me, and I think he was doing charts while we were talking. And at the end of it, he said, "Oh, okay, so you're an eighth level sage." And I was like, what's that, right? And basically he explained to me that you've repeated the exercise 8 times. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And so whether you want to accept the fact that you've lived 8 lives while you're alive, or whether you've been here 8 times and repeated the same thing over to try to enlighten or move forward in your evolution, your successionary journey. So it was very eye-opening, and I encourage, you know, like the people listening to look at all religions like I did. Don't just, you know, pigeonhole yourself. There's so much out there, and you want to take what resonates with you from each and all of these and let go of what doesn't resonate with you. But yeah, those are some really helpful steps in understanding your succession as you are spiritually getting more and more mature. They help you, like, you know, digest what's going on and why you are the way you are and why you're being challenged. Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk about some of the challenges, right? Right.
So mental, spiritual, physical. So right. I recall you love those, I'll call physical, but what we're also spiritual and more holistic. So yeah, share a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah. So part of the work was that you would come up with these challenges, and you were not being, how do I say this, gentle with us on these challenges.
It's all perception.
which is why they're called challenges, right?
Meant for transformation, yes.
Yes. So two of them really stick out. The sugar challenge, which was a very difficult one.
Very powerful, yes.
And the one where we did the ropes course.
Yes.
Dealt with fear, dealt with heights, dealt with physical challenges. Like, can you hold on long enough to successfully get through this maze hanging above the forest floor? Right.
And if you remember, Mac and Jake and maybe some of the other guys had huge height fears, but they did it anyway, because we were up pretty high in those trees.
Yeah, we were. And again, but you know, it's like you were dealing with all of these different pieces. It wasn't just one piece. You know, you were dealing with physical and the fear, you know, so it's a double whammy. It's not, again, it's not just one thing. And that's where, again, you picked some challenges. I assume they came to you. I don't know how you came up with them, but you did. And they were very, very powerful experiences. And the bonding that occurred between all of us during these challenges was really uplifting. And I think that speaks to having a group that you can grow with and have, be able to share. You know, I think that was one of the important things too, that you provided what we call a secure area, a secure safe space for
safe and sacred space. Yes.
That you can cry and you can say things that you would never say to anybody. And just having that opportunity is so important, because like you said, we're all polarized. So we don't have these safe spaces anymore. And the only people that we have the ability to share our dark sides is our loved ones. And so we end up mentally or verbally abusing the people that we love, because we don't have safe spaces that we can voice and let go of some of these, you know, fears or angers or frustrations. And so again, you know, having a circle or a group like this and a safe space to share and let go.
Yeah.
It's important. I mean, that's the power of this type of work is the support.
Yeah. Well, it's a brotherhood, and that's why I call it a transformational community. So pretty much all those challenges, I would spend a lot of time in deep meditation, and my spirit guide for the whole way the Illuminated Warrior work started is White Feather. I'm not going to get into the whole details of White Feather right now, but White Feather really kind of guided me for these challenges, and all of them, including, you know, we just spoke about the ropes course, was they're all metaphors for, okay, and I remember even talking to Mac and some of the other guys, okay, you conquered this challenge. You conquered this challenge of your fear of heights, okay? So now when you go into another situation, a real life situation that's not manufactured by our group or anything else, but that comes and hits you right in the face, and now you have a fear, whether it's, doesn't have to be a fear of height, it could be a fear of anything, or not having the confidence, or getting back to like feelings of like not being worthy. You go back to like, hey, you know what? I took these challenges on. I did this. I faced my fears. I faced the demon. I looked at my shadow side and I rose to the occasion. And it doesn't matter whether you like succeeded other than the fact that you took that step, you went into the light and you walked out the other side. Because they say there is no breakthrough without breakdown. And so we broke down. We broke down a lot of those self-limiting beliefs, and we walked through them, man. You know, we crawled through the fire, literally, right? And on some of the other challenges. So, yes. So, and the other one you mentioned, I thought was extremely challenging also. Like I came up with, what's your sugar? What is it that you lean upon? What is it that you know, whether we call it an addiction, a need, a physical need, a spiritual, whatever it is, what is it that you go to that you know deep in your heart is not really healthy for you? It's not really, it's a whatever. We could call it an escape. We could call it a crutch. We could call it a band-aid, whatever it is. So something that you would like to really overcome. And you, as well as the other guys, you know, you picked what your sugar was, and you know, we did it for X amount of time, and you know, and then again, the work is if you choose to follow further through with that. But those were heavy duty challenges indeed. Yeah,
the sugar challenge was no joke. It was really no joke. And the thing was that you were allowed to pick an easy sugar or a very difficult sugar, and that's, again, you know, it shows you are challenging yourself when you chose the really hardest thing that you could, or that it said, you know, you weren't ready to really look at these things yet at the depth that you could. And so that was definitely, in my mind, probably the hardest of the challenges. I mean, the other ones were, they were challenging. The friggin', what was it called? The hothouse.
The Inipi, or the, what we call the sweat lodge. The Inipi, when you wanted it hotter and hotter and hotter. I'm like, it's not about how hot you could go. Start praying harder. Start going deeper within. You're like, no, make it hotter. Man.
You threw more water on those stones just to shut me up.
Spirit was guiding me. Spirit was guiding me through that.
Yeah, I mean, I was panicked. I'm claustrophobic. I'm in this dark room where I can't breathe. The steam is no joke. You are just oozing sweat from every pore in your body. I mean, you talk about like a release, whether you're realizing it or not. And that's one of the reasons why I said, just make it hotter. Just go for it. Because I was letting stuff out of me at a level that was beautiful. I mean, it was just incredible that I could do that in a claustrophobic, dark little room where I'm smashed in between everybody. You know, that was, again, it was no joke. It was hard work. But once you get your mouth around it, you get your teeth on it, you will begin to realize how powerful of a tool it is to accept those fears and to challenge yourself to push yourself even harder down that path. And so, you know, as much as I was afraid of the sweat lodge, at the end I loved it. And you know, so it's again having the tools to allow yourself to accept these challenges and know that you're going to be okay. And yeah, you're going to crawl or wiggle or slither through the fire to come out the other side, but when you do, it makes you so powerful. Absolutely. It just makes you so powerful as a spiritual human. I don't even know how to say it. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. Well, the Inipi, what most people know as the sweat lodge, it's a purification ceremony. So I was initiated and taught to be a a water pourer. And it's all, it all, if it's not being guided by spirit, it's not a man sitting in there pouring. It's not a man deciding how hot you're going to get or what's going to happen in there. It's all spirit driven. And what, especially my Lakota brothers would say, if you're in such pain, pray harder, start praying for yourself, start praying for your relations, start praying for the people, because if you're so in your head, oh, this is hot, this is claustrophobic, then you're not doing the work that really needs to be done. And if you think back, a number of the guys, if not everyone, whenever we'd be in lodge, it was not easy. It was very challenging for all those reasons. There was fear, there was claustrophobia, there was the mystery of the unknown, all of that. But if you think about it, like when we sat in circle afterwards and everybody shared their stories, how everybody had some kind of like insights and transformational experience because they did face that shadow, they did face that fear, and they did go deeper within. And whatever came out of it was a beautiful experience because we were there. We knew we were supporting each other, even though it's in the womb of the mother. It's total darkness. You're like, where am I?
I want out.
But the only way out is within, So we learned that.
We'll be right back after this.
Do you sometimes feel down, lost, or lonely? Are your finances feeling sluggish? Can your relationships use a healthy tune-up? Don't fear, bro. Help is here. Experience the benefits of connecting with other men who are going through similar challenges. Be supported in our safe, sacred, and inspiring monthly telecircle with the Brotherhood of the Illuminated Warriors. Connect with Waska for one-on-one mentoring with the first session completely free. What have you got to lose? Check out illuminatedwarrior.com or send an email to waska@illuminatedwarrior.com. You're invited to step up your game and join us. You'll be glad you did.
What was the term used? Mataqui?
Yeah, Mataqui-Asin. Mataqui-Asin. Yes.
So that was your safeguard in this space. And so you knew you could call it out at any moment and bail out of there, like real quick. So the challenge was not to call and to know that you could, but not do it. And so again, when we got out of there, we were all so empowered. I mean, you were high. I'm sorry. You were high. You were very much energized.
Yeah. In a spiritual way though, right?
Yeah. Stimulated. Very, very stimulated. And so I used the word high, but it really was more of a natural feeling from within your body and your spirit that brought you to that special place. And, again, those challenges all more or less did that in one regard or another. And that was the beauty of each challenge was different. And therefore you'd get different experiences or you'd be exposed to different ideas or thoughts or fears that maybe you didn't even know you had.
Yeah.
So again, these are incredibly valuable tools to help one navigate some really complex times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all, men, women, children, everybody needs some kind of support system, some kind of connection. And that's what Mataqui-Asin means. It's a Lakota term, which means all my relations, or we're all connected, the interconnectedness of all things, which, we'll talk about a little bit before we leave today, the work that you're doing with the flora of the plant kingdom and all, how we are all connected. We're connected to the rock people, to the tree people, to the waters, to the sky, to all the elements, which really is the lifeblood of Mother Earth, and a lot of people are like, oh, we got to save Mother Earth. No, we don't have to save Mother Earth. Mother Earth will spit us off in a heartbeat when she's ready. We need to work on, communing with each other and supporting each other, our brothers and sisters, and Mother Earth will smile upon us when that happens, So Mataqui-Asin, we are all related. And that's another beautiful sentiment and practice of the Lakota people is ensuring the next seven generations. So, and I know you resonate with this as well. Not like, what can I get now? What am I getting out of this right now? It's like, okay, my kids, my grandkids, their grandkids, think about seven generations to ensure the next seven generations. How are you going to live your life? Is it what we're seeing now? I don't think so, you know. So I think that's a beautiful way of being. And that's why when we enter the Anipi or the Sweat Lodge, we put our foreheads to the ground. We honor, we are in reverence to Mother Earth, to all the elements. And, you know, we go in a humble way on our hands and knees. And we say, all my relations, Matapuyasam. And yes, if you want to call it the like get out of jail free card, is Matapuyasam. Yes, okay. That's one way of looking at it. But it's a way of saying the spirit, yes, we're all connected. And I need a little bit of reprieve right now. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful existence. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, bro.
All right. So I'm a soil biologist and a soil engineer. At the end of my divorce, I came to a realization that I didn't need anything. Like it took a couple of years, but I got to the point where I kept moving stuff over and over again. And I'm like, why am I moving this stuff? I don't use it. You know, why am I holding on to it? Other people will probably get more benefit out of it. So I just started giving stuff away and removing possession from my life. And I think that's a really important step if you're going to be thinking about seven generations out, is to minimize. So the saying of what you own owns you is a really important and powerful saying, that, and it's real. Like the more stuff you have around you, the less time you have to really focus on what's important in your life because you're being distracted. Okay. So everything around you is alive. What are we doing to make sure that the next seven generations will have the same things or exposure to the beauty of nature and this planet? So my recent work, which is probably the most challenging I've ever come across in my life, is that we have this thing called green waste. So green waste is basically yard waste. So everybody out here in SoCal gets these big toters, and when the landscapers come and cut the grass or trim the bushes or whatever, they throw all this stuff in these bins, and that gets hauled off. So in 2016, California passed a law that basically said by January 1st, 2022, oh, by the way, that's in like a couple weeks, everybody has to divert all green waste, food waste, and paper waste from landfills. So they need to be processed in a manner that's both environmentally friendly, but more so responsible in handling these waste streams. So I was hired by a company called Agromin, who is basically going to be going from, I think, 2 million cubic yards a year of just green waste to 20 million yards. All right, that's staggering.
Yeah.
Right? And wow. More important to understand that 80% of that 2 million cubic yards right now, they're paying to get rid of. Hmm. All right, so think about that. Like there's not enough area for them to pay to get rid of this stuff. Like, so they're like, we need to turn it into something that's more beneficial. They're using it as a herbicide to kill off. We call them weeds, but I dislike that word. They're really indicator plants. They're indicating what's wrong with that soil. So if you really look at what they're doing, they are trying to grow, pull the nutrients that are deep down in the soil, bring them up to the surface, and then sacrifice themselves, die, and leave that nutrient on the surface so the next successionary plant can come into play. So the challenge was, all right, I want to turn this compost into a fungally dominant. And I'm like, well, first of all, it's not compost. It's GOM. It's ground up organic matter. You have no control of your seed end. It's carbon to nitrogen ratio. You pile this stuff up, it goes anaerobic and hydrophobic and is ready to combust in a matter of days. Wow. So it's a super hot product. It's super volatile and it kills shit if you put it on. So what do you do with it? So the work that I'm doing now is, so a brief explanation of our modern understanding of compost, because compost is a process. It's not a description of something. So everybody just goes, oh, well, compost. And they throw it all in this one, you know, big box. Mm-hmm. And so the latest work in my industry or field is the understanding that we start with POM. So POM is particulate organic matter. And then you move all the way down the line, which I don't believe is linear. I think it's really a figure eight. I think these things go in and then out and then in and then out. So the yin and yang is the best way to understand it. So it goes from particulate organic matter to what's called MOAM, mineral associated organic matter. And that is where it's broken down to a particular piece of silt. So silt is super fine. It feels greasy and smooth on your fingers. And if you put it under a microscope, it's very, very small. So that's the final stage of organic matter. No, it isn't. Because even that silt, they're specialized biologicals that will continue to break that down and release that beautiful mineral back into play for other organisms to use to build, to grow. So again, it's the figure eight
cycle.
So again, you know, I'm challenged with, all right, how do I take this GOM that's highly volatile, completely unstable, and move it into a position where it's now not going to heat up. It will support biology. It will hold moisture. It will provide a valuable tool for agriculture and healing the skin of the earth. See, our activities have taken what was beautiful, rich soil that allowed water to infiltrate, allowed to respirate. So that means the CO2 of the organisms inside the soil can come to the surface, provide CO2 to the plants, which will then pump exudates back down into the soil to feed the biology. Beautiful loop, just a beautiful loop, right? So how do I move this stuff that's going to kill and disrupt that loop and make it so that it's stable enough that it will start to build structure in the soil to start healing the soil so more plants can come into play and we don't have big brown patches of collapsed soil, which are only adding to the pressure of climate change and inability for water to infiltrate. So if it can't get into the soil, that means it's going to erode the soil. Mm. So it's going to be a double negative. So yeah, these challenges, like if I hadn't done the work with you, I wouldn't know how to start. I would be overwhelmed with this problem. And instead of you know, cowering and saying, I can't do that, it was like, the shit I did, if I could do that, this is no problem. It's going to be a challenge. Yeah,
I was turned into compost, so I'm going to
literally, I was composted in so many different ways and I could not even
look comprehend. Look how you've grown. Come on.
So I successfully arrested the thermophilic process. I have basically turned this GOM into this highly mineral associated, as Billy said, that Billy is the CEO of Agrimin in our last meeting. He goes, oh my God, do you realize that you just made a fertilizer? And I'm like, yeah, I tied up all of the organic N that would have gassed off in an ammoniacal or ammonia smell. And I've locked it up into this material and I've increased the nitrogen because I associated it with these other minerals. And this is where we as a species have so much work to do in understanding nitrogen. What is it? How does it work? There's so many different types of forms of it. Same with carbon. We all hear carbon and we're like, oh, charcoal. No.
Well, and most people don't want to know, dude, because it's like, you know, they put the chemicals on the lawn because you want the green lawn. And you know, how many people really want to understand this stuff, you know, because it does get a little complicated, but it's important, you know, to the work that you're doing really is very vital. If we're going to have fresh water, because all those chemicals are running into the groundwater, never understood it myself, guys, you know, my whole neighborhood, they did not like me because I'd be making dandelion wine out of those dandelions and my kids would be kicking the puff balls all over and my neighbors would be like, yeah, what are you doing? You know, but that's nature, man. Like you said, they're indicators and dandelions, they're food, man. They're food for our tortoises. They're food for anybody who wants to eat them. So it's beautiful work that you're doing, you know, and it's kind of like when I'm listening to you, it's like metaphor really for our individual souls, like, you know, turning, like you turned, you know, matter into a growth material, into a fertilizer. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So the work you're doing is really, really vital. So let's take it all like full circle. So taking that, the work that you do with Mother Earth, with the environment, with taking things that are not working in a symbiotic or a harmonious way with the earth, and how you've done that, and also how you've taken things in your life, the shadow aspects and things that weren't working. Like, you know, again, I see it as a metaphor. Like, what would you want to share, you know, in closing with any brothers who are listening or anybody, you know, for your son, for anybody that could benefit from, you know, doing this work or any work with a guys group? Like, what would you want to share?
I think the most important thing is that it's very easy to go to the negative side. And I think, again, that's the foundation of all of this is to realize that you're in a negative space. I mean, I used to tell you, I don't want to be here. You know, I'd break out in tears in circle and say, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done with this place. I'm done with the pressure. I'm done with humanity, the way they treat each other. You know, I believed my whole life that if I cut you and you bleed red, that you're my brother or my sister. And I don't care what color, shape, size, whatever, or your belief system. That's you. That's fine. You know, and I was sick of it. I was done with it. And so in many ways, you reminded me that it's not my choice that, you know, whether I want to believe I signed a living contract or not to be here. I was put here. I am here. And I will be taken when the time is appropriate. And that's not my option. It's I'm here to do whatever I'm supposed to do and suffer, live through. But there are pleasures and the work that we do here reminds us that, oh, I'm suffering. Okay. I have to deal with this and accept it. But knowing that tomorrow or maybe next week or a month or a year later, there will be pleasure at the end of that. There will be that great reward when you crawl out of the sweat lodge dying and you go, ah, I'm reborn, right? The pleasure of coming out of there was amazing. You know, that was that high I was talking to, that spiritual, like, uplifting. So I think that, you know, in closing, the most important thing is that the work that you do here both allows you to understand suffering and allows you to find the pleasure in the suffering at the end of it and the reward of doing the hard work of, you know, it was like building houses. God, at the end of the day, you were so exhausted, but then you look at what you did and you felt joy. You felt like, wow, look what I did. And I think that spiritually, that's not something that we do as a species. And here again, that's why this work is so important, is because it allows you to see something that's not tangible and to have that understanding of where you are in your daily life or yearly life, whatever it is. So again, very, very powerful work, hard work, no joke, hard work, but incredibly rewarding and valuable if you do the work.
Yeah, and you did do the work, man. I'm like so happy that you're still here. So I just have one more question for you, because I remember all those days and just really doing my best to support you. I'm like, bro, just stay positive. Just stay positive. And you did. Time again, you stayed positive. So what would you say, if you could recall, like, what was the aha moment that really kind of clicked for you, that, you know, kept you going, that inspired you, or just said, okay, I'm just going to take one more step? Do you remember what that might have been?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my children would often tell me how negative I am, and I didn't see it. Like, I just was, you know, I was being what I call not a negative person, not a positive person, a realist, someone that's looking at what's going on real time and not sugarcoating, right? But it was very negative in a lot of ways, because I was only seeing the bad side of things. I wasn't looking at the good side. So the real aha moment came when I was driving. So I'm an aggressive driver. I get frustrated with people that are falling asleep in the fast lane, driving 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. So I blow around them and, you know, like, look, think about them in the back of my head, like, wake up, you know, what are you doing? Get out of the way. You know, I got stuff to do. And all of a sudden I started noticing that I would attract all of these road raged people around me. You know, I just blow past them and all of a sudden they're up my butt, you know, pushing me, honking, flashing lights. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just passed you. What are you doing? And so then I started like saying loving thoughts to the people, right? And not being negative about, you know, them falling asleep or driving like idiots or being distracted. And all of a sudden, nobody was like pushing me or road raiding me or getting in front of me and locking their brakes up. And I was like, whoa, so this positivity stuff actually really works.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not attracting negative people around me anymore. And then it, you know, it progressed into having positive people that I met or come into my life. And so in so many ways, because I was being so positive, I was attracting very positive energy around me. So that was, you know, that was the real aha, that this is real and that I need to pay more attention to it. And I need to challenge myself even more. Throw more water on that fire, Oscar. Bring it on.
Oh.
So I think that was the big one.
Yeah, that's beautiful, bro. Well, thanks for all your sharing. I think it's for anybody that's listening. I mean, this, you know, this is a real brother sharing his stories here. And so I invite anybody who's listening, you know, join our group, you know, or find a group, find another men's group that you could really tap into and have the brotherly support, because this guy right here, man, I love you, man. You know, I love you, bro. I'm you know, I'm not letting you go anywhere. And that's what my work's about. That's what your work's about. That's how we support the community. And, you know, hey, Matakwiasin, man, we're all related.
Amen.
So in closing, man, why don't you offer the listeners your contact information if they want to know more about the beautiful work you're doing with the environment?
Sure. If you're looking to hit me up on email, it would be my name, Leighton Morrison. That's LEIGHTONMORRISON at yahoo.com. You can also find me on Instagram, and my company is Kingdom Aquaponics. So kingdoms, all the kingdoms of life, aquaponics, LLC.com. It's a long name, but if you search me on Instagram, you'll find it. And then that'll help you remind you of my email address for the business. So
beautiful.
Please, yeah, hit me up. I spend a lot of time educating people, weekly podcasts and also other, you know, what I want to call educational platforms. I did one recently on Clubhouse or FPC2, where we talked about Moam and Palm and Gom and how important this is for humanity to really get the living skin of the earth functioning at its fullest again, so that we do have clean water. We do have higher levels of oxygen.
So, seven generations, baby.
Yeah, seven generations. That's a lot of hard work.
Beautiful, my brother. Well, I'm going to put all your information in the show notes. And once again, thank you for joining me. And you know, we will stay connected in our men's circle. And, you know, I say to everyone, hey, Matakwiasin, we are all related.
Amen, brother. Amen. And you keep doing the work, brother.
Thank you, my friend.
Aho.
Aho.
Visit illuminatedwarrior.com if you'd like to go deeper and find out more about what's available within the Illuminated Warrior Men's Transformational Community. Tune in next time for more candid conversations for men and women about men on the Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Until next time, illuminate your path with loving kindness.